is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Pastor Brad Bigney, and I've got my delightful wife by my side.
Hello, Thrive family. Glad to be back.
We're going to keep digging into what does the Bible say about love? Oh, our world just carries on and on and on about love. Songs are about love. Romance fiction novels about love. Movies about love. Love, 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 because it is the longing of the human heart. God made us this way as relational beings. Problem? We've got so many misconceptions about love, and it comes with such strong feelings. Sometimes we cannot distinguish between what is true, what is false, what is glorious, what is counterfeit, what is helpful, what is not. So, oh, how we thank God for His Word. He made us, and He gave us a revelation of Himself as well as top things that we're concerned about. So we've been digging into this passage, 1 Corinthians 13, that most people would know of, and very few people know how to get traction with it and put it into practice in their home, in their marriage. So listen to it again. He's talking about what love is and what it isn't. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. It's worth noting, we've already dug into in our past shows, he's telling us two things that love is. It's patient and kind. And then he gives us eight things that love is not. And here's why I think he weighs it heavily towards what it's not. Until you get out of the way what it's not, you cannot begin to cultivate and flourish with what it is. So let's see if we can help you push off the table some of the things it's not. And it might surprise you, that word envy. It does not envy. And let me make a distinction for you between envy and jealousy before we dig in. Envy is resenting what someone else has. You don't like it that they have that. You don't rejoice with them that they have that. Jealousy is being afraid of losing what you do have. I have something, and you better not take it from me. But he says, love does not envy. It doesn't resent what someone else has. Thoughts about this, Sweet Vicky? How do you think that's impacting relationships and marriage?
Well, I think it really creeps in when you're least expecting it. And I think it goes back to another show that we talked about, Romans 12, 15, that says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep.
Yeah.
And I think the opposite of envy, kind of like you said, is I'm actually thinking of someone beside myself and rejoice in what's happened to them that perhaps I don't have, but I'm happy that it's happened for them. And I know earlier we talked about with our kids teaching them this, you know, if they get their driver's permit, we want to rejoice. If they had their best personal record at the 500-yard dash, we want to rejoice. Same in the marriage. A win for your spouse is a win for yourself. So it's just not good to be envious. You know, like I can think of an example once a year. First it was every 5 years, then it was every 3 years, now it's every year.
Who's good to you, girl?
My baby love, yes.
Yeah, listen to where she's headed.
That's
with this,
right,
folks.
So once a year, my sister lives in Georgia. I don't get to see her much. So once a year, we actually take a cruise. And we don't think our husbands would like cruises. They I don't know. They've never been with us.
No, I can confirm. I don't want to be on a big boat in the ocean.
I don't know.
Not scared. I just don't want to be that close to other people I don't know.
Anyway, we're pretty happy with this arrangement, so we're not twisting their arm. But I just really appreciate that Brad not only sends me with his blessing, he's actually excited. So I can come home, I can talk about it. Nancy's husband is the same way. So I love that as our cruise approaches, it's like, oh, it's a countdown, it's 30 days. And I don't bring it up all the time, but I just like that he's not thinking.
Which would be painful because this cruise takes place in January.
Yeah, or February.
And Cincinnati is not a fun place in January.
So we get out of here.
So she can't talk about it relentlessly.
Right.
As she does, I smile, I celebrate.
Because I do have friends, like there's a friend I have, and she and her mom and her sisters go away, you know, pretty often on a sister's trip, maybe once a year or every other year. And her husband doesn't like that. He's like, well, I don't have friends to do things with.
He lets her go.
Right.
But he just says little snarky things all along the way leading
right,
up to
like,
it.
Right, wish I was leaving, wish I could go somewhere, wish I had people, you know. So she feels kind of inhibited, like she can't really just talk about it openly and be excited because he's not rejoicing with her.
Every year, she dreads bringing up the date and
right.
asking, can I go? This is the date. Can we go ahead and buy the ticket?
Right.
Because everything, she's just kind of made to feel like, mm-hmm. wow.
And even when I come home, thank you, Brad Bigney. I mean, it's a little easier now because there's just the two of us. But when I come home, it's like spotless. Like he has kept it clean. You know, he's fat.
I take a Brillo pad and I make the kitchen sink shine because I've been having coffee and there's brown stains down there.
I think
there.
He misses me.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I hope you're hearing. We started so long ago in the show from Genesis telling you marriage is the only relationship that the Bible calls one flesh. You are one. And so when you get this right, hear what Vicky's saying, a win for your spouse is a win for you.
Right.
Your marriage will begin to thrive instead of barely being alive when you stop being these two entities that kind of have a competition. Who's having the best life? Who's having mm-hmm. the most fun? Who has it the easiest? Who?
Right.
Early in our marriage, we played that game.
Yeah, we did.
I was coming home to the trailer from ministry. Very demanding ministry and a new ministry, trying to start student ministry and a brand new music ministry, feeling sorry for myself. She's been there all day with two little kids and we have almost no money.
In cloth diapers.
Hello, folks.
But you know what? They really did potty train sooner.
But and so neither one of us, we were playing who has it the hardest. So we did not celebrate and you could feel it. Mm-hmm. The tone in our home is dramatically different. As she'll celebrate things that she knows I love, like pickleball. And
right.
she'll say, well, I hope you have a great time and staying. Instead of saying, wish I could play pickleball tomorrow afternoon, wish I could be outside. You're just looking for ways to celebrate with your spouse something that they enjoy, and it might not involve you. So there's a big difference. And I hope you're not thinking, just like some other sins we're going to head into in a few shows from now, pride. You think, whatever. Hope you're not thinking envy, whatever. Ooh, there's a reason God puts this in the list, because let me help you. Envy is one of the least productive and most damaging of all sins. It accomplishes nothing except to hurt. So love, by its very nature, keeps its distance from envy and does not resent it when someone else is promoted or blessed. I was kind of shocked. If you don't do counseling, you don't have an awareness of how often these deadly sins are present in marriages. But I've seen it so often in the counseling session where I can tell this spouse does not even like it when anyone else views their spouse with a high view mm-hmm. and likes them. I can tell they resent it. I want you to not like her. I don't want people to. And they almost say it with disgust. Yeah, people at church. Now, it's one thing if, you know, I've had guys where they appear one way at church and then at the home, they're not like that at all.
Right, but that's not what we're talking
about. That I understand when a wife is resentful, like, oh, everybody thinks he's great. I'm talking about she is great or he is great, but you don't understand love and you wish you had what they had. Mm-hmm. When people think highly of them or say, oh, wow. Even for me, I'll give you my biggest example, and I can be honest, I am not troubled when I hear it. I go places and I teach about once a month, a conference, and here's what I hear. You know, Vicky cannot go with me that often because she has some health issues, something in the MS family, so I have to save her for marriage conferences. If I'm doing other kind of conference, she's usually not traveling with me. But I might have been at a church already three or four times doing some other conference, and then finally, she's with me. And here's what I hear. People just come up to me. Probably a dozen people will do this and say, oh, Brad, we liked you, but we love Vicky. We absolutely love Vicky. And then one of my favorite things that I know happens to Vicky is that she will tell me, wow, so many people came up to me and said, oh, he talks about you all the time.
Yeah, that makes me happy.
When your heart is right.
Shows we have a good relationship.
Yeah, when your heart is right towards your spouse and you love them, what comes out of your mouth is you highly favor them. You talk well of them. And then for someone else to say, we love her, does not offend you. Oh, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and push a little more. What does it look like when envy is at play in your marriage? How does it just eat the heart out of love?
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicky in just a moment. You know why I love Thrive so much? Number one, it's because Brad and Vicky are willing to be transparent. You don't get that a lot. Mostly you get with marriage podcasts and marriage seminars and things like that where husbands and wives, quote unquote, open up. You can't see my air quotes, but that's what I just did. You get a husband and wife who are scripted and only open up to a certain degree. But opening up authentically, and I don't even like using that term, but opening up the way Brad and Vicky open up and being transparent is remarkable. That's the first reason that I love listening to Thrive so much. The second reason is they are so profound. They are practically profound. Just like today, you know, you don't stumble into kindness or fall backward into sacrificial love. You're either growing or you're settling. That's stuff you know, but when you hear it put the way Brad and Vicky put it, the light bulb goes off, doesn't it? At least it does for me. And listen, if you're tired of settling, that's why Fortis Plus is worth checking out. Fortis Plus is our library where all of our content lives and exists, and it's constantly growing. It's totally free, no subscriptions, no hoops to jump through, just open access to teaching and tools that'll speak into your marriage, your parenting, and your heart, from conflict to communication, from theology to practical stuff. It's all there at FortisPlus.org. Or you can grab our app from your mobile phone store, the place where you go and download your apps from, or even on most smart TVs. Again, it's absolutely free. It's not watered down, and it's also not tucked behind a paywall that's pretending to be a ministry. Now, how do we pull that off? People just like you make this possible. We don't have big donors. We don't have brand sponsors. We have just ordinary believers who have been impacted by this ministry and the content that we've been producing for over 25 years, who have decided to link arms with us because they believe the content we're producing should be in the eyes and ears of more believers in more places all over the world. And if that's something you'd consider, if Fortis has helped you along the way and you are giving to your church faithfully already because you understand that's your first giving priority, if all that is happening, then head to FortisInstitute.org right now and start to see what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And if you can't link arms with us monetarily, don't think you can't join us as a gospel partner. We need all the prayer we can get. All right, let's get back to Brad and Vicky. Now, this is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Welcome back. We are talking about marriage, which means we're talking about love, which means we're talking about what does God say about it, not does what does the world sing about it, and what does Hollywood portray. When you turn to God's word, you see some things you don't get any other place. And it might surprise you that in this show, we're talking about love does not envy. And you're like, really? Yeah, really. If a husband and wife continue to maintain their own, kind of like it's my own life, my own gifts, my own desires, my own, there will be a sense of rivalry, and you will not celebrate when your spouse celebrates something or enjoys something or is viewed highly. And so I hope you don't think this is a small sin. It's really not. When you turn to the Bible, do you realize God's word tells us in Genesis, it was envy that caused Cain to murder Abel. The first murder. You know, Vicky loves to watch murder shows.
Dateline,
hello. Snapped. What, you know, often the motive, they're always wanting to know, what was the motive? What, you got to have a motive if you're going to find anyone guilty. Well, the Bible actually tells us that the motive for the first murder was simply envy. Cain hated it that God favored Abel's offering, and all Abel had done was obey God and brought the right kind of offering. But Cain was so envious, he murdered Abel. Think about Joseph. If you know the story of Joseph in Genesis.
Love the story. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. It's one of my favorite. Genesis 37 to 50, you'll get the life of Joseph. And his brothers, God's word tells us, were so envious of him that they sold him into slavery. But let me tell you the biggest one we see in Scripture. It tells us in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, that Pilate, the governor, the Roman governor, actually knew that the Jews were handing Jesus over to him, not because he'd committed any crime. The Bible three times tells us that Pilate knew Jesus was innocent, but that the religious leaders were envious. They hated the following he had. They hated how people loved him. They hated how people listened to him, and they were willing to have him crucified to get him out of the way. Now, I hope you would never end up on Dateline having murdered your spouse.
But I'll see you.
But I hope you realize this is an ugly, toxic sin that cannot be in your relationship, or it will affect your relationship tremendously. Vicky, other thoughts?
Yeah, I really like, because I often think, okay, we don't want to be envious, but what do we want to do? So I'll go back to Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And I think it's interesting that the Holy Spirit puts that, rejoice with those who rejoice first, because I actually think it's easier to weep with those that weep than rejoice with those that rejoice. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. When someone's weeping over a lost job or a sick child, you can mentally think, so happy that isn't me. But when your friend gets a new house that you'll never be able to afford, or their child got a full academic scholarship to Penn State, and your child's having trouble writing papers for English 101, that's very different, because in that second scenario, you are wanting what they have. It's just much more of a temptation.
Yeah.
A nicer house, a child that breezes through college.
That's a good point, Vicky. Yeah. Most of us are already leaning towards, I can weep with someone who's going through something terrible.
I think it's a little easier.
I think you're right. It's harder to get your head around celebrating what someone else has when you don't have it.
Right.
Even in a marriage.
Yes. And I think it can cause us, if we're not careful, to slip into the wrong thinking of, why didn't I get the house with a beautiful granite kitchen? Or why is my child struggling with academics and depression and her child got a full ride? So I think we have to really go back to even just, it's our view of God. Like, is he good? Is he there for me? So I think we really have to go back to, what am I thinking, and to see it in light of the scripture of who God is, that, because it's easy to start questioning that, and then it just sends you, once again, I say this often, but in a dark place.
Yeah. And I think even in your marriage, you have to be careful. Your spouse may have certain gifts or certain opportunities or certain things coming their way that are good, but you have to always keep in mind there's almost always a handful of hard things that they have that perhaps you don't.
And that's true with everyone. I mean, I think just like in that scenario, I wasn't really so much talking about specifically your spouse, but I think with friends, it's a very prideful and arrogant on our part to assume they have some great life. And it's just our, unfortunately, our natural human tendency to see all the hard things we have. Well, you don't know what's going on in their life, you know?
And even, you know, to bring it back into the home with the marriage, if you're not careful, you'll focus on their things that are going better than what you're facing.
Right.
Because, you know, many of you may be both working. There's two different marketplace situations, two different job situations. Mm-hmm. When your spouse is doing well and being promoted, do you celebrate? Or is the first thought, well, wish my job was like that. Wish I had those opportunities. Wish I had a boss like that. You've just got to be careful that whatever they're going through that is good, that might not be happening for you, there's always, I don't think it's wrong to even use that word always, a handful of other difficulties. Vic and I don't share the same difficulties. We've each got our own health issues. We each have our different
so
struggles.
So many health issues.
You know, it's a new season. It's like, wow.
Yes.
I've joked around with some of my team at church now. It's like, man, I need to be aiming towards succession and retirement just to make time for all my doctor's appointments. You know, I'm meeting with a surgeon to figure out why I can't reach for my coffee cup with my right hand without screaming, and that turned out to be arthritis and a bone spur. Oh, yay. I've got a bridge that's being built for a tooth that crumbled. And here's a guy that flosses every day. I am type A.
What happened,
folks? I've been flossing every day since I could handle a piece of floss. But yet, you know, aging is aging.
Right.
And so I'm in some months-long process of building a bridge and You know, and then I've got liver issues that came back from my blood work and my annual physical.
And don't forget the pituitary gland.
Yeah, I got
gland.
A pituitary gland thing going on.
We had to
on.
Meet with a brain surgeon. He was the
neurosurgeon.
Nice.
Yeah,
oh,
I guess that is brain.
I mean,
you're right.
Brain.
I mean, I've never met with a neurosurgeon, and praise God, he confirmed, yes, brain is there.
And all is well, so like, that's,
you know,
good.
You know, I've got meetings at University of Cincinnati Hospital. I've got meetings on our side of the river in Kentucky. But it's so sweet. We look at each other, and we'll say it sometimes, we're so grateful that
yes.
at this point in our marriage, we are for each other.
Right.
This would really be a hard season if we still felt that competition
mm-hmm.
or that that conflict or that—
Or just a disconnect, like
yeah.
this person's not for me. They,
yeah.
they aren't going to listen to me. Be scared about the situation that's coming up, or just I can't talk through someone with this because they don't really care.
Yeah. And I hope you try to practice the same thing with your spouse, that we try not to just talk relentlessly about what's bothering us, you
right.
know, the tooth, the shoulder. But it's sweet when she'll ask, so how is your tooth? Is it still hurting? And,
mm-hmm.
You know, just to feel like this person's for me.
Right.
Not against me.
Because mm-hmm.
And that it's safe. We had a whole show where we
yeah.
talked about we want to feel safe.
And I've said it before, but I just see it more and more. Just our world is a harsh,
yeah.
dark place. It's just people are ugly to you in traffic. They give
yeah.
you the middle finger. People yell at you. I mean, it's a hard—
And for sure, our world is an envious place.
Right.
Oh, goodness.
Right.
People, when you get online, it's like nobody is celebrating anybody
mm-hmm.
else's wins. They're
yeah.
tearing people down. They're picking it apart.
And I think
they're
that's
finding
why
fault.
So often people do say so many things online about people. They don't like, they seem great in the world's eyes. Well, I'm going to knock them down
yeah.
and tell them what's bad
and
about
so
them.
So there's what we face every time we walk
right.
out of the door.
So your home
when you
shouldn't
come
be like
into
that.
Your home. And so my heart does really go out to those of you that we want to recognize what we have now, we've not always had.
Right.
And so
very
it can be
lonely.
Hard,
yeah.
but we're trying to help you know nothing changes in general. It's never like, oh, God,
right.
give us a better marriage,
very good
and
point.
It just happens.
Mm-hmm.
Change happens in particular,
right.
one specific thing at a time, because you arrived where you are, one specific incident or thing at a time, shift in your thinking. So we're trying to help you bring it back to know where would you even start.
Mm-hmm. And even if your spouse isn't doing this, you know, you can still model this and you can still set the precedent.
Because God's word tells us, might be surprising, not a place you would have looked, love does not envy. So consider how often in your heart do you actually resent something that's going well for your spouse, something they enjoy, an
opportunity?
And they
sense that, I'm sure.
Yeah. So just say, God, forgive me. Help me to celebrate my spouse's wins and to verbalize it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some shows ago where we talked about gratitude. Gratitude is great when you feel
right.
it. I think I feel thankful.
So
it's
much better
wonderful when
to
you
verbalize.
Voice it.
Yes.
And so voice to your spouse, well, honey, I am so glad that you are experiencing that. I'm so glad
and
that
you
was your day.
And you get to go on a cruise. So happy for
yep.
you.
Baby, and she's my sweet Shetland. Mm-hmm. Shetland, I am so glad that you can strip down from that winter coat and boots and earmuffs. And I'll call her the day she gets on the boat. I can hear the kettle drums in the mm-hmm. background. I'm like, right, girl. All right, you begin to celebrate, and I'll just bundle up and huddle up here, and I'll clean the sink, and I'll keep this home running until you get back. We're talking about what would take your marriage from barely alive to beginning to thrive. Love does not envy or resent what your spouse has.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.